Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. The tax deadline is approaching. Take a small action for your future and talk to your financial broker about a Zurich pension.
At least 1,799 people have been killed in Israeli strikes on Gaza since the massive Hamas attack on Israel at the weekend, the health ministry in the blockaded Palestinian territory has said. And as you heard there in the news headlines, separately RTE News has learned that Irish troops serving with the UNIFIL mission in southern Lebanon have gone into bunkers today. The defensive move follows reports of armed groups in Lebanon firing across the blue line into Israel. Well, for more on all of this, we're joined now by RTE's Paul Cunningham, who's in Tel Aviv. And Paul, thank you for joining us this afternoon. In terms of the warning or the instruction that has been given from the Israeli government to Gazans for 1 million people to leave Gaza City in 24 hours, can they?
I don't think so. I mean, it's an extraordinary order by the Israeli Defense Forces, because the Gaza Strip, as we know, is home to around 2.2, 2.3 million people. It's really densely populated. And the area that's most densely populated is Gaza City to the north. So that means you could be talking well in excess of a million people who are being ordered out in just 24 hours. Now, that warning was given around 9 o'clock the morning Irish time. So, like, the clock is already clicking down for that amount of people to be on the move. According to the IDF, they say that this is an evacuation. It's for people's own safety and protection for those Palestinians to leave, because of in advance of a ground offensive, and it's going to be centred on that particular area. Yesterday we heard the President of Israel saying, that's Isaac Herzog, saying that the military are not breaking international law with its bombardment, and he compared Hamas to ISIS, the so-called Islamic State, and saying they have to act. But, I mean, that order has been highly controversial, and if you hear from organisations like the International Committee of the Red Cross just in the past hour, they've been saying the horrific attacks in Israel cannot justify the limitless destruction of Gaza. The evacuation orders coupled with the complete siege are not compatible with international humanitarian law, and they say they're committed to providing aid to Gaza and trying to help the hostages there if they're allowed back in. And that sentiment is being replicated. People like Doctors Without Borders, they say trying to force people of that order, of that magnitude, a million people, is outrageous and amounts to an attack on medical care and humanity. The World Health Organization saying the same thing, that people in hospitals can't move, and if they're forced to move, it's a death sentence.
Do you think there will be a ground offensive tomorrow? Is that what is expected?
I think it is at this stage now. That 24-hour warning, there'd been an expectation that this weekend, all the signs are there. We don't know, obviously, that it's going to take place, but that seems to be the way it's going. We know as far back as from Monday, the Jerusalem Post was reporting that 300,000 Israeli reservists had been called up. They've even got a name. It's going to be called Operation Swords of Iron. And all the indications are that it's going to happen tomorrow or Sunday, but that something big, and it's going to be focused on the north of the Gaza Strip first.
There's been violence today across the West Bank, Paul. Can you tell us what's the latest on that?
Yeah, we've heard reports of violence in Jenin, in Jericho, in Nablus, and also in East Jerusalem. And that's a serious spike of tensions, obviously linked to what's happening in Gaza. But for the past year, there's been a much heightened feeling there, particularly over the question of land appropriation by Israeli settlers from Palestinian villages. The latest thing we're hearing from the Palestinian Health Ministry is that 11 Palestinians were shot and killed in the West Bank by Israeli forces today.
And also, the Iranian foreign minister has now met the leader of the Lebanese Shia militia Hezbollah today. This has been discussed really since Saturday, fears of a wider conflict in the area.
Yes, and you know, Hamas is supported by Israel, and Hezbollah in southern Lebanon is supported by Israel. And we had the leader of Hezbollah meeting the Iranian foreign minister at a time when tensions are so high. RT News understands that Irish troops serving with the UNIFIL mission in southern Lebanon have gone into bunkers today. And that sort of was a defensive move taken because of reports of armed groups in Lebanon firing across what's called the blue line, separating Lebanon from Israel. We understand that that is both bullets being fired across, but also some rockets. We also have heard, but it's unconfirmed, that Israeli forces were firing into southern Lebanon as well. So certainly heightened tensions. And it does raise that serious concern that you've not just got tensions in Gaza, but also in the West Bank and possibly spreading into Lebanon as well.
Mm. Paul Cunningham joining us from Tel Aviv. Thank you very much for that. And as Paul referenced there, the humanitarian group Médecins Sans Frontières have condemned Israel's 24-hour notice that people in northern Gaza must leave their land, homes and hospitals as outrageous and called it an attack on medical care. Well, we're joined now from Jerusalem by Gabriel Noman, who is advocacy manager with MSF in the Palestinian territories. And Gabriel, you're welcome to the programme. Can you tell us perhaps firstly what services MSF is able to provide across the Palestinian territories?
Hello, thank you for having me. Yes, at the moment in Gaza, we still have our reconstructive surgical program, which is a plastic ortho reconstructive program that was set for war wounded for the Great March of Return. These programs are actually still running right now, despite of the many challenges that the Gaza is going through. We also offer other kind of services in the occupied West Bank and occupied East Jerusalem. This time we're really, really focused on what is happening in Gaza and trying to see how we can actually advocate and ensure that medical aid can come in and that help can actually reach those in need. Because what we're seeing now is pretty much a collective punishment of an entire population, which is a clear violation of international humanitarian law, along with potential forcible transfers to other countries. These people are people that have been displaced before. And now they're being asked to leave their houses, to leave hospitals, where people are connected to ICUs, people are on the ICU care. One of the things, for example, on top of all this, you have a siege that is completely preventing electricity, water, and food, and essential items to get into Gaza. Hospitals are on the brink of collapse. Only in this, during the days of this latest escalation, we have 100 newborn babies that are in neonatal unit. And if the electricity goes off, they're going to die. What we're seeing right now is a humanitarian catastrophe to which Israel has full control to stop it.
And yet, far from stopping it, it appears that Israel is planning a ground invasion tomorrow and has given that warning to Gazans in the north of the enclave, to 1 million Gazans, to leave. What do you make of that warning, and what do you think is likely to happen?
Well, I think we were, as Doctors Without Borders, as Médecins Sans Frontières, we were quite explicit on condemning Israel to the highest levels around this. This is impossible. This is outrageous. This is crimes. This is actually going to cost so many lives that we're going to potentially see a genocide. Not only that, a lot of our Palestinian colleagues also say how this is not a notice, because usually also the press address this as a notice, as a demand, but this is actually a death threat, because if they don't leave, they're going to die. So we also need to frame the right terms around the narrative about this, because it is important that we really prevent this from happening, or else we're really seeing the wiping of an entire population out of the world.
Israel says it has to defend itself against the brutal attacks by Hamas, and that it is looking to attack Hamas with these attacks. That's why it's given the warning for civilians to leave.
Look, I think we need to also put everything into the big perspective, which is not that long, because it shouldn't be that complicated as much people like to think, because we have an occupation that is illegal since 67, that has been deeply qualified and actually put into UN resolutions. These are not just words in the wind. And these occupation has recently increased its level of violence, which led to a lot of very well-renowned international organizations to call out on crimes of apartheid. The international community has been warning, the international civil society at least, the international organizations have been warning the international community about this for years, for decades. There's nothing that can come, there's nothing beautiful that can come out of so much violence, of decades of violence. So we need also to understand the horrible attack that Hamas did, which is completely condemnable, but we also need to put it in a perspective. This was also a product of Israel and its policies of terror against Palestinians.
Just finally, Gabriel, before I let you go, you have your MSF staff, I think 300 MSF staff on the ground in Gaza. Will you try to evacuate them or what can you do?
They don't want to be evacuated. They don't want to leave the hospitals. They don't want to leave their families. They don't want to leave their homes. Maybe a few of them want. I cannot speak for everyone, but I can speak for a few of them who have shared this with me. Also, other than that, there's no possibility of evacuation at this moment. And there's also no guarantee that these people will be able to return, which is a trauma that the Palestinians still go through.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt you, Gabriel. We will leave it there for the moment. We will speak to you again next week. No doubt, unfortunately, this will still be a big issue next week. And thank you very much for joining us on the programme this afternoon. That's Gabriel Noman, who is Advocacy Manager with MSF in the Palestinian Territories. We're joined on the line now by People Before Profit TD, Richard Boyd Barrett. And you're welcome to the programme, Richard. We heard from you on Wednesday's programme, and I know you felt you didn't get a chance to fully explain your views during that discussion. So thank you for speaking to us again on the programme today. I suppose maybe the best thing to do is maybe what I'd like to do is rephrase what I put to you on Wednesday, and I'll pick off where we left on that point, which is that some people would say that by not specifically condemning the actions of Hamas on Saturday, which is what you have done, that leaves you open to the accusation of justifying what they did, including murder. Now, what do you say to that?
Well, Sarah, I genuinely will answer that. I just wanted, first of all, just say that I just literally received messages from Gaza asking me to publicly request that the Irish government, Simon Coveney in particular, would contact the Egyptian government to appeal to them to get water and fuel and medicine and baby milk in through Rafah to Gaza, because there's literally none of those things now available, and people are cowering without them, and there's absolute terror at what's happening, and there's no supplies available. So I just want to say that publicly and appeal to the minister. I hope some of their officials might be listening to this, and they're very welcome to contact me about it. But there's a really catastrophic situation is now developing. But in relation to your question, look, the point is, I'm a founder member of the Irish anti-war movement. I condemn all killing, warmongering, terrorism, whatever you want to call it. But what I was trying to get across, and I think is terribly important to get across, is that I'm not going to reinforce a narrative which suggests that the absolute horrors that we are now witnessing and have witnessed over the last few days began with the Hamas attack on Saturday, as horrible as that attack was. But that the context for this, as your last guest suggested, is the fact that we've had absolute brutal persecution of the Palestinians in Gaza, specifically for 17 years with a siege, which by any definition is a crime against humanity, of daily killings of Palestinians, of daily, weekly, monthly seizures of Palestinian land, ethnic cleansing, the reports which confirmed what Palestinians have been saying for decades about the apartheid policies and nature of the regime, and that those pleas of Palestinians to end Israel's impunity for those crimes against the Palestinian people were not heeded, and that that what we've seen with the current escalation of violence was a tragic inevitability. And that is the point. And if we're going to end this horror, we have to say who has the power and who's responsible for getting us to this terrible point. And while people have different views on that, my view is, as your last speaker indicated, it is the actions of Israel and the international community in giving Israel
impunity.
And that
is your view. But just to be clear on a couple of points for the avoidance of any doubt, do you condemn the Hamas actions on Saturday, the Hamas attacks?
I condemn all attacks that kill civilians of any description, okay, of any description. But what I'm not going to do is get involved in a selective condemnation, because what isn't being asked is, of the governments, for example, who are giving Israel impunity and supporting it, indeed suggesting they're going to now arm Israel in the face of the barbaric actions they are they're doing now.
Because you mentioned during our conversation,
self-defense.
You mentioned during our conversation on Wednesday, Richard, the Israeli journalist Gideon Levy, and we spoke to him actually on the programme yesterday because you mentioned his editorial, and I know it had gone around as well internationally on social media. A lot of people read it, a lot of people were interested in it. I asked him that same question though, does he condemn the Hamas actions on Saturday, and he had no problem saying, no doubt, very easily so. He said it was cruel, barbaric, I condemn it definitely. I just wonder, why are you choosing to phrase your response to that question differently?
Because I think the conversation should not start with the notion that all of this began with what Hamas did. I'm not a supporter of Hamas. I don't agree with their tactics. I don't agree with their ideology. But I honestly believe, as I think is the view of the vast majority of Palestinians and the huge numbers of people across the world, that the sort of terrible actions that we saw at the weekend were the response to the violence and dehumanization imposed on the Palestinians by the Israeli state,
and unjustified response. I'm sure. Again, just to go back to the justification issue, you're not trying to justify, I'm sure, those actions.
Of course, I'm not trying to justify them. What I am saying, Sarah, is that they are a tragic inevitability. That if you treat people as less than human, which is what Israel is doing to the Palestinians every day, week in, week out, year for decades, then eventually people snap. And indeed, I don't know how many times I and others have stood up in the door and said to our government that.
I know, and I know you have been making those points for years and years, and we have watched you make those points for years and years in the Dáil and in Iraq, this committees. I just want to ask you finally, Richard Boy Barrett, about what happens now, because we've been discussing it on the programme for the last hour. As you've outlined, the terrible situation that is unfolding in Gaza, and this warning from Israel for more than a million civilians to leave their homes within 24 hours. What should happen? What should be the international response?
The international community has to impose sanctions. First of all, they have to stop supporting Israel in what it's doing or suggesting that somehow it's an act of self-defense. But they need to put every sanction possible on Israel in order to compel them to lift the siege of Gaza, to end the policies of ethnic cleansing, to dismantle the apartheid system, to allow the Palestinians, millions of Palestinians who've been refugees for decades, to return home. All of these, by the way, are rights they have under international law, and end the persecution and violence against the Palestinians. If the international community does not do that, we are facing horrific possibilities.
Yes.
It's terrifying what's happening, but I think the Irish government and European governments have a responsibility to hold Israel to account for what it has been doing and is doing now as we speak to the Palestinian people.
Richard Boy Barrett, we'll leave it there for the moment, and thank you for joining us.